Now, that's the end of that story. The contrast now that is very interesting is with the monastic grail story, which I mentioned at the beginning of this storytelling bee, composed about 15 years later. The Fourth Lateran Council in the year 1215 proclaimed as dogma, authorized dogma, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. This created a great excitement in the ecclesiastical world. And the whole story of the Grail became associated then with that doctrine, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Not a symbolic presence, but the real presence. The Grail romance that is the basic one of the Cistercian series is called La Questa del Saint Graal. In Old French, one pronounces all the consonants. You don't leave out the ending one. And the story here is, as I suggested, that the Grail was brought to England by Joseph of Arimathea. You all know the story of the begetting of Galahad by Lancelot on the Grail Keeper's daughter, and so he is brought up really under the shadow of the Grail, and this is a wonderful romance. The Grail shows itself to Arthur's court when Arthur's court is in meeting. This is the adventure. And the whole court decides, on the initiative of Gawain, to go questing for that Grail. The Grail showed itself with a covering over it, and they are to quest for the Grail without the covering. Arthur is greatly disturbed by this because his whole court is going to depart from him, and it does depart. But the reason I'm bringing this up is one of the greatest lines in medieval romance comes right on the at the opening of this adventure. The knights are all going to start out on the same morning. They're going to leave Arthur. They say goodbye to him. And the text says, they thought it would be a disgrace to start out in a group, to start out in the same direction. Each entered the forest at that point which he himself had selected, and where there was no trail or path. The darkest point of the forest where there was no trail or path. The point is, if you follow a trail or path, you're following someone else's adventure, not your own. Every single human being is unique and must find his adventure, entering the forest where there is no way or path. However, in this adventure of the Cistercian quest, the way leads to the no matter what way you go, it leads finally to the way of world renunciation, confession of sins, sacramental experiences, and so forth. However, and this is again associated with Joachim of Florence's work, the Christ who is responsible for the Grail in the hands of Joseph of Arimathea is the resurrected Christ. That is to say, in this tradition, the Grail tradition, represents not the normal ecclesiastical tradition, but the hermetic tradition of Christianity. So, always associated with the Grail, we have the background, not the foreground of the Christian tradition. In the Parsifal of Wolfram, it is a secular life that leads to this realization, transcending the sacraments. In the Cistercian quest, it is the religious life that leads to this, again transcending the sacraments. So in the Grail tradition, we have the same kind of secret, esoteric notion that we find in the Oriental texts, and particularly in the Parsifal. There is a line here that you won't find in the Orient at all. In the Orient, the ways of initiation are mapped out. We know what they are. We know what stage you're in. You find your guru, you submit to the guru, you do not criticize, you do what he tells, and he leads you to the point then of your own experience. We know what the experience is, it's the transcendent and so forth. Not so in this European quest. So I just offered this as our counterpart and one to be remembered and not to get it mixed up with Wagner's or Mallory's. Now, Mallory's translation, Mallory comes along in the 15th century, is right out of the quest. The Grail story that you get in Mallory is that of the Cistercian monks, and we all know it. And this is the one that Tennyson took over, and it's the one that influenced Wagner. And I think it's just too darn bad that the image of the Grail that has come down, which you might say is our symbol, has been turned into a monastic tradition, and the really secular one, the layman's movement, you might say, has been sort of left in the woods. And I thought this would be a rather good place to call it back to world attention right here.
You have been listening to Forest Adventurous, the fifth talk in a series entitled Western Quest. This recording was authorized by the Joseph Campbell Foundation and produced by Electronic Educational Programs. Our theme music is by Acoustic Alchemy. For more information on the Joseph Campbell Foundation, please call the Foundation at 1-800-330-MYTH. That's 1-800-330-MYTH. Or you can contact us on the World Wide Web at jcf.org. I'm Maura Vaughan. Thank you for listening.
This has been a HighBridge Audio presentation.